So I want to talk a bit about wisdom. And I have a lot of things, Pastor Glenn and I talk a lot of things I just want to share with some people. A lot of things that have been blessings to me. It's taken me a long time to learn. And some of them I just regret I didn't know earlier. Some of them, if I'd known them earlier, I wouldn't have known what to do with it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to grow a little bit before you can handle some things. But this is one of those things that when I was praying, I was like, oh, you know, would you like me to share? And he's like, just share out of your heart. Share one of those things. Because that's what I wanted to do. And I said, all right. So I was looking through. I've got a whole list of them, things I want to share. And I was like, you know what? We'll do this one right here. We're going to talk about wisdom today. And I always was a little confused with wisdom. I'm like, you know, you read over in Proverbs, it's just they got wisdom and instruction and knowledge and understanding. And everybody's like, wisdom is the most important thing ever. But then the Bible said, get wisdom in all you're getting, get understanding. And I'm like, doesn't that kind of make understanding bigger than I'm just a little confused. So I had to get in there and start digging in there. And the Holy Spirit has showed me something. It really clarified it for me, and suddenly it made sense. Wisdom and understanding, and I was like, thank you, Holy Ghost. So I'm going to read up a couple of things here. In Proverbs 1, man, Proverbs is just such a good book. Man, it's not like any book of the Bible is bad. Like it doesn't, you know, like it's got terrible information in it. But Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. Just side note here, man, that is so true about foolish people. They despise instruction, man. When I see it, I just want to throw up my hands and be like, you know what? Fine. If that's how you're going to act, life's going to teach you. Go on, let it teach you. I've taught my kids this lesson, and I teach other guys that you got three teachers in life. You got God, you got man, and you got pain. And if you won't listen to God, then he'll try to speak to you through man. Through the word or through preaching or through this or that or just through people that you know may not even be saved. Trying to teach you good lessons that you know, but if you won't listen to none of them, then you're just your own authority. And life will teach you that you don't know. It will train you that you are not as smart as you think you are. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let me read another section of scriptures, Proverbs chapter 4. I like this section. Proverbs 4, 5 through 13. It's starting in verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Man, that statement right there, don't turn away. So many, the first several chapters of Proverbs start with, my son, listen to the words of your father. Honor the words of your mother. Proverbs is a book about how to raise your kids. Because it's full of, these are the principles you want to teach them while they're young. And Solomon said that in chapter 1, while I was young in my father's sight and like the apple of his eye, I can't remember, he taught these things to me. That's a father who's teaching his son, the son, you're going to have to live good because you got a future worth living for. It's a good thing. Little side note there. Proverbs is full of little side notes. Anyway, verse 6, do not forsake her. He's talking about wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. Will you embrace her? She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. My goodness, let me just finish this out. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. This verse 11, I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you won't stumble. Take, verse 13, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. There is so much in those few short scriptures, that if you honor wisdom and listen to instruction, you'll have good life, you'll have a prosperous life, you'll have grace, you'll be exalted, you'll have favor, you'll be protected. I mean that is everything you want for loved ones, everything you want in your own life. Wisdom will bring it. But don't run from instruction and don't despise it, because it'll leave you flat. So wisdom has all this stuff it can do. I'm gonna throw out some verses, and then we're gonna get to the central point here in a minute. Take firm that last one, verse 13. Take firm hold of instruction, a firm hold, not just a firm hold. You know what I'm saying? That's just so much wisdom in that. So wisdom, you know, protect, teach, give you favor, exalt you, bless you. Wisdom is all around. This says it so many times in Proverbs. I didn't even write the scriptures down. It's like every other chapter says something about wisdom, calling from the streets, standing in the city gates, yelling in the important places, crying out for people to listen. Wisdom is always around you. And a wise man can learn from everything. A wise man can even learn from fools. He can learn a good example of what not to be. So the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. This is one of the points I want to lay down, but it's not the main one. But it's important to say. So I'm going to read some of this off like the Holy Spirit gave me. When I begin to look into, just think about that, I begin to think about knowledge and what do we know. Because, you know, the Bible says, you know, wisdom of God is foolishness to man. And man's wisdom is foolishness to God. So there is more than one type of wisdom. You know, I can know 1,000 things and nothing about God. That doesn't mean those things I know aren't real. Like I can know how to build a table or fly an airplane, but that doesn't tell me how to be saved. So just in that context, I begin to think, what is knowledge? You know, if I have a bunch of useless knowledge, is it useless? What would make knowledge useless or useful? So this, when God says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, this isn't because I got a little confused in my notes. All knowledge exists, and God made all knowledge. I want to throw that out. God made everything. Everything that can be discovered or learned today, even perverted, is still something God made. All of that knowledge is about, even if you like homosexuality being a perversion of relationships between men, God still made men and women, and He still made relationships. All that knowledge is still His. Now it can be perverted. There's plenty of foolish worldly knowledge out there. Like, hey, sex before your marriage is okay, is, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or you know, get all you can and don't share with the rest. Well, you know, greediness or, you know, just however people live nowadays, that's foolish and foolish to God, I should say, and unsaved living. That's still knowledge. Now, it's terrible knowledge. The world is full. There is plenty of foolish knowledge, but there is nothing worth knowing without realizing that God is first and foremost. Now, the reason I say it that way is because I may have knowledge of, I don't know, let's just say like artwork. I don't know anything about artwork. In fact, I'm terrible at drawing. Absolute worst, man, just terrible. But there are people that know all kinds of artists, and they look at these paintings and they're just like, oh, the artist, the blah, 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 that's so beautiful. And that's cool. I like artwork. I think it's cool, or photography. I don't know a whole lot about artwork. But that knowledge, you could say, is it useful or useless? Well, there's nothing worth knowing unless you realize God as the first place in it. I can look at a bunch of paintings, maybe they're $1 million paintings, I don't know, and go, hey, I know all these artists and blah, 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 blah. Isn't that cool? Well, that doesn't really do me any good. I mean, how does knowing an artist's name get me to heaven? How does it get me healed? You know what I'm saying? When I'm going through a difficult time in my emotions, how does knowing that artist's name, or when they painted that picture in the 1500s, what's that do for me? But if I can look at those paintings and say, look at all these people throughout the years, this is God's talent. Even though these people may not even been Christian, they were created by a magnificent God, created these minds. A magnificent God gifted these people. He taught them how to paint. These are His gifts at work. Even if they didn't honor Him, or even if they were all Spirit-filled Christians, that's who painted. It doesn't matter. If I can look across that and see This is God at work. That knowledge is useful. That knowledge points me towards God, not pulls me from Him. You know what I'm saying? And even those things that are of the world can move me towards God, but not be a replacement for Him. That's important to know with knowledge. See, a person who loves God can look into engineering principles and go, man, how did God think of this? This stuff is magnificent. They could look into mathematics and realize that they can just not put a number on how large God is, how intricate He is. They can look out into the solar system and understand all this knowledge about the planets and the gases that come together and make them up and black holes and gravity and stuff and be amazed by God. That knowledge is the same knowledge that some atheist can look at and say, this proves there is no God. Well, to the atheist, his knowledge is just foolishness. It has led him into dumb. But with the knowledge that God is first and foremost, somebody can look at all that same knowledge and it become wisdom in them because it begins to point them towards God. Real knowledge points you towards God. I think that is the defining thing. It's all just information. This Coke can, how it's made, the fact that it stands, that gravity pulls it to the ground when I let it go. That's information. And if I look at this and say, man, there's no God, well, then I'm an idiot. But if I look at this and say, let me tell you, that thing falls to the ground, somebody made gravity. God made that gravity. He spoke it into the world. The earth that this falls down and hits, He caused that earth to form. I can see His greatness in this. Man, and that's the beginning of wisdom. I begin to see God around me. Every other type of knowledge is flawed. It's temporary. It builds no eternal fruit. That temporary, I think, is important because God can override everything. I mean, people like, you know, you can live X amount of years and then you die and life's over. Well, not according to God. People like, hey, you get terminal cancer, well, you're going to die. Well, not according to God. He can flip that knowledge on its head just like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, knowledge without God's way is just not knowledge. It's foolishness. Because God can change it in a second. Your words can change it. Everything. Without God at the first, all things learned are done so at the cost of true wisdom. When you begin to listen and develop and learn about knowledge, if you don't have God in your life, it's just costing you the knowledge of Him. See, if I learn all these things, a good thing is, let me give you an example. I'm a musician. I could study so much about music and learn all these things because I understand music very well, very easily from a kid. It's not a big deal. Musical theory and stuff, it just came natural. But if I study all that out, what is it worth? Even if I was to take that knowledge and become the greatest musician that ever lived and have millions and hundreds of millions of dollars and give billions of dollars of record sales to cancer research, I still die and go to hell. That knowledge did nothing for me because God was not in it. See, when I develop all that knowledge, I just eliminate God out of my life. I fill my mind up with my own wisdom, which just corrupts you. And I can't remember where that says in the New Testament. I should have looked. You know that wisdom is just building your own self up, man. It'll turn you stupid. But anyway, I don't want to get into all that. I'm kind of sticking on this longer than I want to. I want to get on to my other. Knowledge without a God center to it fuels our desire to manage our own lives without Him and eventually despite Him. It turns our foolishness into pride. I begin to think, I can handle my life. I know enough about it. And then somebody says, you need Jesus. And my pride to run my own life becomes rebellion. No, I don't need Jesus. I can do it without Him. Let me show you how I can do it without Him. That's what knowledge will do to you. It puffs you up. It ruins your spirit if it's not God-centered. But one, I mean, here's a perfect example. Dr. Scott Forrest, he ran the Bible school for years. I mean, he's got a doctorate. Man, the guy's just wonderful to sit, listen, talk to. But his scientific knowledge and mathematics and stuff, it shows him God. He can explain God to you with those principles. For him, that knowledge is wisdom. I mean, it's real wisdom. He looks into these scientific principles and these mathematic formulas, and he sees God. To him, it is not foolish knowledge, corrupted by foolish nature. It's the same information someone else possesses, but for him, it's a fuel towards God. God will bless it too. God will bless it. So let me read this. The entire world works off of God's word. He built every single principle that governs reality. He built the seen and the unseen. He created every authority, every principality. Excuse me. He created darkness and light in order to be wise. In order to be wise, you must respect him enough to desire his way of seeing things. And you must be humble enough to abandon your own way of thinking. That's where wisdom is in that. That it's not that necessarily that God's principles are completely opposite, like God's understanding of gravity is completely opposite from ours, or God's understanding of air. I'm sure God understands it better than we do. But you know what I'm saying? It's not that if I'm a Christian, I can see gravity as something different than you because you're not saved. It's good. It's wise because when I see it, I see God at work. And when others see it, they just see their own genius at work. I figured it out myself. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that a while back. Scientists and everything, they don't figure anything out. They just discover what God already did. They're just peeling back layers and layers of his wisdom that he has already laid forth before we were even thought of. You know what I'm saying? Before our parents had ever got together and loved and said, I'm going to create a kid, God already laid all this wisdom out, all these principles, all this understanding. People just pull back the layers and find it. So let me read this. Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. That's just the first half of that scripture. Wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. The reason I bring that up is because what it goes on to say, it goes, you know, then these things begin to happen, these good things, and these things happen. The reason I say it is because wisdom has to enter your heart. It's got to get into your heart, and it has to be pleasant. You have to desire to set your thinking aside and pick up the way God sees life. That's wisdom. That's taking that knowledge and turning it into wisdom that's going to grow. Now, I still hadn't explained wisdom. I'm going to get there. I hadn't forgot about it. But see, I can learn a lot of things. I can learn a lot of principles on parenting, principles on finances. But when I look at that and say, hey, you know, here's all these business principles. Here's how I grow wealth. But what about the kingdom principle of giving, sowing and reaping? It seems foolishness to the world, but I could take that and begin to apply it, and it'll teach me more about God and grow into wisdom. And when I'm doing that, you know what it's doing? It's leading me into trusting God and not trusting myself. Or I could say, you know what? That principle of sowing and reaping, that's just stupid. That's not how you grow wealth, by giving it to someone else. I'm going to apply my own wealth. You know what I'm doing? I'm just reinforcing my own pride, puffing myself up on my own knowledge. And eventually I'll be like, I will be successful, God or not. And man, it just anyway. So let me jump on into where I'm at. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It's the last scripture I want to look at. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This scripture in Proverbs 1 said, or was it Proverbs 4? Wisdom, yeah, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. The principal. When I looked that word up, God spoke this to me, and I didn't understand it until I looked up that scripture. But this is what the Holy Spirit says to me. He said, Chad, wisdom is not a commodity, it's a seed. See, over there in Proverbs chapter 4, it says wisdom is the principal thing. The principal, it is the foundation upon which something is built. That's what wisdom is. It's the beginning. Mm-hmm. Wisdom being the principal thing, it's not because it is the most important thing, and it is not the final thing. It is the beginning layer. Wisdom is the foundation upon which understanding is built. That says, the Bible says, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. That means I may have godly wisdom that I can sow and reap. I may have godly wisdom that I can speak out of my mouth and see my future change. I may have godly wisdom that says I can be healed. That says I can have faith in God and miracles can come. But that doesn't mean I know how to walk in it. See, those are seeds. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's a seed. And it begins to grow. The reason why God said, Chad, it's not a commodity is this. A commodity is something that, the best way I can kind of explain it, they've got all kinds of definitions on it, but basically it's something that holds value. It's as valuable to me as it is to you. If I take $10 down to Walmart, it's going to buy me $10 worth of stuff. And if I give that $10 to Clint and you go down to Walmart, it won't buy you $100 worth of stuff. It's only going to buy you $10 worth of stuff. Because $10 is worth to me what it's worth to you. Okay, if I give, you know, if it's in Clint's hands, Clint's not magic and everybody just gives him more for $10. Unless you're just super friendly and they just bless you. But anyway, you see what I'm saying? It's a commodity. $1,000 is $1,000 is $1,000. $1,000 is worth in Alaska what it is in Hawaii. That's the way the world works. It's a commodity. Wisdom is not a commodity. It is not the same to all people. See, wisdom to me in an area of my life has grown into understanding. And I can present that principle to you just like I am this principle now. But to you, it's just a seed. See, I've already planted it. And wisdom, once it's planted, must be submitted to so that your thinking can change. And over time, as you submit to the wisdom principle, it begins to change your heart and begins to change your thinking. That's what we call growth. And then it branches out into revelation, and I begin to understand this wisdom. It started here, and I knew what it was, but I didn't really know what it was. And then it branched into this thing that began to produce life and show me about God. A great example of this, and I think I brought this up in one of the previous life groups, is when I started reading the Word. See, I knew I'm supposed to read my Bible. I saw everybody said it. I heard it preached in church. People are like, read your Bible, get the life of God. So I said, all right, I've read my Bible sometimes. I'm going to sit down and start reading my Bible. I'm going to make this a habit. And I did. I didn't know what I was doing. Tell you the truth, I didn't even know why I was reading my Bible. But I started. So I read my Bible every day, every morning, two or three chapters. I can't remember what it was. Something small, not a big deal, for 6 months and got nothing out of it. But then I got a little something. This is a scripture I'd read before many times, heard preached, and it just kind of hit me and sparked me up. I was like, I see something there. That makes more sense than it's ever made. That seems to clarify some stuff in my heart. It excited me a little bit. That's because wisdom is to read. You can read your Bible. That's why. That's wisdom. And as I submitted to that wisdom, it began to grow. I didn't really know what it was doing. But in 6 months, it popped out a little berry of understanding. A little tiny berry. But it was enough. And I tell you what, I kept going. And I said, you know what? This Word changes things, which the Word says. You know what? This Word is growing, and the Word says it's alive. You know what? This Word is showing me some areas I need to change. And it says that the Word is profitable for correction. And it began to grow, and now 20 years later, I love reading my Bible. And I'm telling you, there's very Rarely will I ever sit down with my Bible and not have 3, 4, 5 things to write down. Rarely. Because that wisdom principle grew into an understanding that the Word is life, and if I will dig into it, it will bring life to me. I can find God by reading this Word. One of the many ways I can find God, but I'm telling you, the Word is, that's where you want to be started. Perfect example. Wisdom is not a commodity. See, I can hand that to someone else, to 10 people in a room, and only one of them grow it into understanding because the others don't submit to it. You got to lay down parts of your life. You got to set things aside. You can't say, you know what, I'll know God without having to read my Bible every day. Well, that's just stupid. That's just pride. And see, if you have knowledge without God being at the first of it, you just train yourself to trust yourself, which is not what Proverbs says. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, which means in all of your studies, in all of your thinking, in all of your looking at the stars or doing whatever it is that you do, sports or whatever, acknowledge God and He will direct your paths. And don't lean on your own understanding. That's what it says. That's wisdom. And wisdom will promote you, bring you favor, bring you health, bring you finances, bring you friendship, bring you grace. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm see where I'm going? Let me finish this up because I got a couple of things I don't want to forget to say. Why did my camera turn on my iPad? I pushed the wrong button there. Wisdom is a seed. Fools despise wisdom because wisdom requires you to submit to it in order to have its fruit. And fools do not like to submit. So here's another statement. Wisdom can never be fruitful without some type of restraint or restriction. You're going to have to deal with your own self. You're going to have to push your way aside. Chop it off. Lock it down. Say, you ain't going to have your way. And I'm going to submit to it. See, I had to restrict my time. I had to take time out of my day to read my Bible. But that restriction produced understanding and life. Oh, so much life I've received reading my Word. You have to adapt things in your life, restrict things in your life in order to see wisdom be fruitful. Fools don't want that. So they just ignore wisdom and eventually they come to hate it. They hate wisdom. They despise it. The reason I lay all this out there to you guys is because wisdom is the principal thing. It's the foundation upon which successful living is built. God's wisdom. Now, there's lots of worldly wisdom that'll just puff you up into pride and lead you into doing everything your own way for your own reasons, and it won't bear you any good fruit. At least not lasting fruit. You may feel good about it for a while. I mean, sin is pleasurable for a season, but it will catch up with you. And sin is always killing off something in your life. Its wages is death. It may kill off your health or your emotions or your relationships and eventually your life, your physical life. Wisdom is the principal thing, but in all you're getting, get understanding, wisdom. There's some areas in all of our lives where there is some godly wisdom there, but maybe not submitted to in the way it should be so that it can become understanding. Produce revolution. Well, I guess kind of revolution. I was going to say produce revelation and become a light, an illuminating source in our hearts that so we can see the truth by it. So I put that to you guys. To begin to look to wisdom, which can be found in the Word. People are like, man, I've been praying from a Word for God. Just open the Word. Start anywhere. I mean, even if it's, you know, it's something simple, like, for God so loved the world. Just John 3:16, if that's all you had, it can grow God in your life. I don't know how many scriptures are in the Bible, maybe a few thousand each. One of them is a seed that can grow something. It will produce fruit and it will lead you to God if you let it. If that's the only scripture you had, it'll do it. So I set that to you guys to begin to look for wisdom. Don't treat it like a commodity. Treat it like a seed. Don't just set it down. Don't park it in your wallet like some $10 bills and say, I'll use it when I need it. No, grow it. Let it begin to produce great fruit in your life. Look for wisdom in your life. The proverb says, like I said so many times, wisdom stands in the streets and calls out. It's at the city gates. It's at the place where the elders meet. It's in the city square calling out. Wisdom is always ready to be found. An abundance of seed ready to be planted and free to anyone who wants it. So that's what I have for you guys today on wisdom. I just wanted to share that. Wisdom is not a commodity. It's a seed. And in order to take advantage of it, it has to be planted in your heart, submitted to for a season, which is you restricting your life to operate that wisdom principle, which you may not understand. And then it will begin to grow. And as you submit to it, it'll change the way you think. And that will begin to grow new fruit in your life, fruit that will lead you to God. Because knowledge is dumb if it ain't got God in it. There's no point in being able to understand every scientific principle if I don't know God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what is the point of living without God? There's no life without it. That's another thing I'll just throw out there as we end. The Holy Spirit spoke to me while I was praying once. That God is, life is God's domain. He owns it. He invented it. And everything that lives, it does because of Him. Even if it lives in sin, it's His. That's why you can't sin and have life, because sin is not in His domain. He doesn't want it, and He ain't going to have it. That's why sin leads to death, because there's no life in it. He doesn't, what fellowship does light have with darkness, right? They don't. All right, so.